Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision making.
Hello, I'm David Tovey, Editor-in-Chief of the Cochrane Library. Spinal stenosis is a narrowing of the central or lateral nerve root canal leading to nerve compression and leg pain. It's often treated by surgery, and this December 2013 Cochrane Review investigates what to do after the operation. Alison McGregor from Imperial College London in England describes the evidence on post-operative rehabilitation.
Spinal stenosis is a degenerative condition, making it more common in people over 50, and it frequently presents with back pain, although leg pain is the dominant symptom. Surgery is normally performed to relieve leg pain by decompressing or widening the canal through which the nerves leave the spine, taking the pressure off the nerve. Disc herniation is another spinal condition that can also lead to nerve compression and leg pain, but it's very different and is covered by another Cochrane review. Surgery for spinal stenosis is relatively common, with over 37,000 procedures performed in the US alone in 2007. The number of operations has been rising steadily, driven in part by our growing elderly population. Although there are non-surgical interventions for this condition, a recent Cochrane review suggests that there is little evidence to support their use, partly because of lack of trials. Consequently, surgery is felt to be the more effective approach and currently appears to be the treatment of choice. That said, studies have found success and satisfaction rates from this surgery that range between 58 to 69% and 15 to 81% respectively, with some studies indicating poor functional outcome. Not surprisingly, given the clear need to improve outcomes, the use of active rehabilitation following surgery has been proposed as a way to achieve this. This has been proposed for two reasons. Firstly, we know that before they have surgery, many patients are debilitated by their progressive pain, disability, and subsequent reduced activity, which can lead to a dysfunctional spine and weak supporting muscles. Secondly, surgery itself can damage key spinal muscles. Therefore, rehabilitation might have an important role in the post-operative period. However, the current post-operative management of patients is inconsistent and varied and often lacking. So we wanted to do this review to see if there was any evidence to support the routine use of rehabilitation after surgery for spinal stenosis, with a view to performing a meta-analysis, if the data were available, on functional and disability status, global health changes, pain severity, and work status. We defined active rehabilitation as any therapist-led or group intervention that aims to restore or improve functional status through a program of exercises or educational material. We included any form of supervised exercise therapy, functional restoration program, or rehabilitation-oriented therapy, but only focused on rehabilitation after discharge from hospital. In doing so, we took account of how long had passed between the surgery and the start of the rehabilitation program. Whilst our search yielded many potential studies, of the 14 explored in depth, only 3 met the inclusion criteria for our proposed meta-analyses. In these 3 studies, rehabilitation began 6 to 12 weeks after discharge from hospital and comprised of either group or an individual exercise-based program. Rehabilitation was compared to usual care, which was either advised to stay active or a limited range of stretching exercises for most patients. The meta-analysis revealed that active rehabilitation is more effective than usual care for improving both short and long-term back-related functional status. Similarly, rehabilitation led to improvements in back and leg pain, although the improvements in leg pain were only significant at 12 months and not at the shorter periods assessed in the trials. There was no evidence to suggest that rehabilitation impacted on general health at 6 months, but there was a limited evidence that it may contribute to an improvement at 1 year. Reporting of work status was poor in all studies, such that the impact of rehabilitation on work remains unknown. In summary, there is moderate quality evidence to suggest that active rehabilitation can lead to improvements in function and pain. However, this work is limited by the small number of studies available, and further research is required to provide higher quality evidence to resolve remaining uncertainties and to investigate other relevant outcomes such as work participation.
You can read Alison's review in full, along with the others she mentioned of disc herniation and non-surgical treatments for spinal stenosis, at thecochranelibrary.com.